Episode 226, January 11th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Robinson, 10 days till I get to meet Marcus Serta in person.
Man, are you excited?
I am. I have a countdown. I've been Xing the days ever since I learned. On January 21st, I'll be at the Mohegan Sun Comics Comedy Club in Connecticut with David Koechner. And I will see you, Marcus Serta.
How did that work? Did you say, hey, can I do a gig with you? Or did he call and say, hey, do you want to do this gig with me?
No, I asked him. You know, we've continued communication for some TV show idea I'm trying to get him to help me with. And he gave me a cell phone at the end of the – we worked together at the Arlington Draft House back in the spring, I believe. And he was super cool. And, you know, I've talked to him on the phone a few times, texted him. He actually texted me to confirm. So he's on it. Like, when I call him, he answers the phone.
When's he doing the podcast, Rob?
Whenever I ask, probably.
Yeah, who knows if we'd be good at that, Robbie? I mean, we're not good at interviewing. We're good at interviewing Antoine Dodson.
Come on, Joe. Let's do some David Koechner trivia with him. That'd be good.
All right. That's a good idea.
I mean, he's a cool guy. He's easy to get along with. You know, he's who you think you'd be. But well, I'm going to
see Marcus going to be at that show.
And Marcus said right before we went on that he's looking forward to my pie plate closer as a joke, obviously, because that's your joke. But what if I did do the pie plate closer and Koechner loved it so much that he like put me in a movie or something?
would I have to be pissed doing is it? What I'd be.
You'd be pissed?
I would. I'm very stressed about jumping on writing the next murder mystery.
Yeah.
Because we literally have to perform it on 4/3, which sounds like a long way away, but we have video that we have to cut for it. You know, we have to script it. We have to rehearse it. There's a lot of things that we need to do. So when you were in Turkey, I said, hey, let me get together with Tommy. And then Kim said she wanted to. And we wrote a little bit of the superhero one.
Don't like that idea.
I know. And I revealed that to you at the improv, and I could tell you were upset by that. So I that bothered me. I won't do that again.
Well, but I'm not upset that I feel like you're going behind my back. I just, every time we've ever started writing one of these, I've already basically had the skeleton of it already done.
Well, not the
and
first
then we
one.
We were just filling in the blanks.
Well, yeah,
the first
one,
we kind of wrote that going together.
Yeah. But, and you're right. I that is a good way to do it. But I'm also highly stressed. It's almost like when I forced the filming of the Christmas thing as early as possible. And I'm glad I did that. If not, I would have been so stressed if we were waiting for that thing to be edited and handed to us, you know, days before the show itself. You know what I mean?
No, I like that you are stressed because that. it helps us get things done if one of us has the sense of urgency. And I have it to a degree, and you have it to a larger degree.
Oh, man, I'm so stretched. Yeah. Matter of fact, I called the guy who's going to film the backstories for the Sing for Your Life one. And he's sending me his avails because what we need to do is, I'm guessing we're going to have, you know, four of our own characters do their backstories. I'm imagining it would be like Eric and Tommy and maybe Kim and maybe that girl Soleil.
Nobody has any idea what we're talking about, Joe. But yeah,
I know. Good point. Sorry.
Nobody cares. We can talk about having women in it. I first of all, it's good to be back. It's our first show of 2016. Last week had to cancel due to me being stranded in Istanbul for two extra days and then getting back and having to move immediately. I'll tell that war story, as Eric the actor puts it. If I tell it one more time, the rest of my life is going to yell at me. But we'll get to all that. We do want to say we had a sold-out show again, two in a row.
Back to back.
Murder Mystery at the DC Improv on the 7th, last Thursday. It's it's a great comedy club, one of my favorite club to perform at. And it's the first time we did the murder mystery there. And boom, January 7th, no holiday fatigued, sold out show, a day in advance, mind you. So thanks to Rob Spiewak for helping out with that from the Mike O'Mara Show, Danny Rouillet from 106.7 The Fan, the Grant and Danny show. So we're on a roll, people.
Yeah, that's back-to-back shows where we were – it wasn't only we were sold out, that we were sold out where there was an opportunity for walk-up. Which I feel bittersweet about that because I feel like it's not the money, but I feel like we left opportunity for people to have a larger audience if we maybe added a second show or something like that. But obviously at the Improv, that wasn't an option. But it's definitely better than having two. I'd rather have one show with 350 people in it than two shows with 200 people in it.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. And we'll be back at the Improv April 14th. Already have a date. It's already on the website doing the Newly Dead Game 1. And we're at the Avalon Theater in Easton at the end of this month. That's on the Eastern Shore, January 29th. That's a Friday night. And then February is packed. We're going to be making an appearance back on the Mike O'Mara Show early February just to talk about all kinds of good stuff. So when we have an official date, we'll let you know. But do you want to talk about our controversy with the female cast members, Joe? Are we ready to delve into that?
Well, I was going to transition it from this thing that I saw today. Apparently, Sylvester Stallone won the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor for his work in Creed. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I don't love Creed like everybody else did. It reminds me of Remember the Titans, which is a movie that's really fun. It's got a good spirit. It makes you feel good. But this is just a formula piece. Yes, it's just this thing to kind of tug at your heart. And it's, you know, I mean, in Creed, the girl happens to be deaf. Just all this weird, Rocky gets cancer. Just try.
Hey, thanks for ruining it for me.
If you haven't seen Creed yet, that's on you. It came out 2 months ago.
Oh, well, you're right. It's been out for years. Okay.
Felicia Rashad was in it.
Right. So, I mean, by the way.
Stop. Hold on. When 2 months now, I'm supposed to have seen it by then. You can just say what happens?
Yes, 2 months. Yes, that's correct.
I disagree. I think it has to be at least it's been in the theaters and it's been on demand and it's been on Red. But it has to be at least 6 months.
Yeah, well, if I'm wrong, nothing I can do about it now.
Robbie, what do you think?
I if it weren't Creed, I would care. If he was spoiling something else, I would be.
No, I'm just saying, in a general rule for when you can.
It's probably a little bit premature.
Thank you.
But it's on the cusp, right? It's not like ruined Star Wars the day after it came out.
No, it's not egregious. But it's still a little bad. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. Rocky dies of cancer. Thanks.
Right. No, he doesn't. But again, by the way, I'm not acting like it sucks. It doesn't suck. It was fun.
Yeah,
but it's like it's fun. Like, you know, the A-Team was fun. It's not Raging Bull, but anyway,
the original Rocky.
That's neither here nor there. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is somebody came out because Sylvester Stallone won Best Supporting Actor, and he had 90 seconds to make this speech. He forgot to thank. Michael B. Jordan, is that his name? The guy who played Creed?
The star who plays Creed, yeah.
Right? And the director. And I think his name's like Cougar or something like that, or I can't remember what his name is. But apparently that guy's black too. I had no idea he was black. But people, not per, a person came out and tweeted that this was some sort of, you know, I don't know, subliminal racism, underground. I can't remember the exact.
She says, oops, maybe you should thank your black co-star and director. Her name is Elaine Tang, T-E-N-G. She's the managing editor of the New Republic.
And of course, maybe you should remember to thank your leading actor and director. That's different than your black leading actor and director. Basically saying, you know, this was an oversight and they were black, implying that there's some sort of racial undertone to this.
That right? is the implication, yes.
And I'm thinking, God, how unfair that is, right? Unfair. Because, you know, in order to do that, you have to assume the thoughts of someone. And if I assume the thoughts of someone and me assuming makes me say publicly that they're a racist, well, I'm a dick. You understand? I'm an asshole. If I say, I don't know what you were thinking, but I'm going to call you a bigot. It is so bold to do something like that, okay? And the thing that frustrated me is it was, and I'm not going to get too far into that this part of it, but I saw a post on Facebook, and basically somebody, hey, close to the show, Mike Finazza, was saying, hey, this is inherently wrong to do this.
That's offensive right. on so many levels.
And people have crawled out of the woodwork to say no. This to dismiss this is not fair. To dismiss this is irresponsible. Meanwhile, this guy probably, I make an assumption that 95% that he just forgot to do this because he didn't expect to win. He's Sylvester fucking Stallone.
Right.
He just won an award for acting.
Golden Globe.
And you can't believe he's surprised. And not prepared. And you know what he did as soon as he walked off stage? Said, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot to thank these people. You know, just John Travolta forgot to thank his wife. Hilary Swank forgot to thank her husband, which is mentioned in the same thread. So this happens. But nobody had the responsibility that Sylvester Stallone had to be this champion of equality like these other people had. He's not at liberty to forget. Because if he does forget, they don't say, oh, my God, what a dumbass. He forgot to thank his co-star. No, they call him a bigot, which I just think is so bold. It's such a dick move.
It is a dick move. I don't know if it's clickbait. People just really believe that. But I don't know this, but I would imagine that Stallone kind of had his say in who would be in this movie. Obviously, Apollo Creed's son is going to be a black guy, but the director doesn't have to be black.
This is his intellectual.
So he made
property.
It happen. So it's like,
yes,
hiring a black person is much more important than thanking one for a job.
Do you know who invented the character Apollo Creed?
Sylvester Stallone.
Right. He invented the guy. Yeah. He invented this man. He's the one who made him into a hero as time went on. The guy who was originally supposed to be maybe this, you know, brash, whatever. He's the one he's the one that made the story arc that go that way. He's the one who decided this is what we're going to do. It's his story. And he forgot to say thank you in a moment. By the way, you and I have both recently been on stage, the two out of the last three murder mysteries where we made mistakes just like that on stage.
We forgot to thank a black person. No, you forgot to thank Kim Ambrose, and I forgot to give I gave everyone who has a radio program or a podcast a shout out, except for Justin the star and the one who's on the morning show of 98 Rock, the best of all the radio gigs.
Now, of course, these Kim Ambrose is a girl. So again, yes. I've already been labeled a sexist, which we'll get into. But I'm gonna tell you why I forgot to say Kim Ambrose's name.
Well, hold on, just real quick. I've said this before, and I might maybe on the show, but I know I did on Facebook. The evolution of being called a racist. It went from, you know, obviously you own slaves to you don't own slaves but don't like black people or think they're equal to, yeah, you're okay, but you can't date my daughter to, yeah, I'll have Cam Newton on my fantasy team. You can work for me, but you can't be a manager. To basically just having a Republican bumper sticker on your car.
No, it's worse than that now.
Or eating a Chick-fil-A.
You can't forget to say, yeah, that's a good analogy. You can't forget to say a name.
Right.
You understand? You can't forget to say a name. How dangerous is that? How dangerous is the idea that if you forget to say something, someone comes out and calls you a bigot and people support it? Yeah. They support it. By the way, if it's 100% true, it's too dangerous to do. I would never be so bold as to go up to someone and say, you're a bigot, because I've decided to put my own assumptions on your speech and thought, especially if it's something as innocuous as not saying a name. I want to get back to the thing about me forgetting to say Kim Ambrose's name. We had changed the way that this was scripted. So Kim's role, which was originally an audience member's role, became a regular cast member's role. And because of that, it was listed a different way on the sheet that I was reading. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, because I've already been called that, if somebody said, oh, typical, he forgot to say the girl's name. Meanwhile, there's a real reason. But if you say, this is what I think, well, you know what? Even if there's no shred of truth to it, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't want that attached to you. And the first thing I would think is, wow, if I call somebody a bigot, you know, what am I doing to them? Especially if they're not. Right. You understand? It's such a dangerous thing to do. And it's irresponsible. It's just it's a bad thing to do. Do you worry about your own character if you're saying, I'm going to call you a bigot? Now, this is where this comes from. We did the Last Laugh at the DC Improv. The Last Laugh is an all-male cast, okay? And Rob is not attached to this. When we cast it, I cast this thing. I was the one that did that. I was the one that made the call. I was the one to see who was available and so forth. And let me tell you, the very first person I called was Rob Mayer, who is a white man. Do you know why I called you, Rob?
Because we're friends and I'd be good at it. And
you're
funny,
work
with
right? me. You're my friend. Okay.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I called Eric Woodworth and Tommy Simbazo. Do you know why I called them?
Because they're funny and friends.
They're my friends. See, you know what the murder mystery was when I was calling them?
Something fun to do.
It was nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing. It didn't pay. It was some work, a project that I was going to have to say to you,
with
I have
no
idea what this is going to be. Nothing. But if you believe in it, will you come and do this? And then I called Justin Schlegel. And people said, you know what? I will. And they did that because they're friends of mine. You understand? If somebody down the street calls you up, Rob, and says, hey, I'm putting on a murder mystery. I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to pay. And it's not written. Are you on board? Would you do it if you didn't know them?
No.
Of course you wouldn't do it. Right. So I call my friends. Now, I don't even want to spend 1 second explaining what this has evolved into. I don't, because it's not about that it's become something and we've been able to do something different with the cast. It's not about that. Jen Tisdale, okay, who, you know how many times Jen Tisdale has met me?
I have no idea. One or twice, maybe?
Zero.
Okay. By the
way, she's never met me.
Jen Tisdale is the comedian who did the porno.
You know how many times, by the way, I'll get blamed for that too, what just happened. Do you know how many times she's seen me perform?
Probably zero.
That's correct. Zero. She knows nothing about my work and nothing about me. And she saw a picture of the cast and she went on to social media. Now, she didn't necessarily point me to me directly, but she had already had a conversation that I knew about with someone in our cast. And in this, she said, I will not support any shows that don't include female cast members. Okay. But I know she was specifically referring to this show.
Of course.
Now, you understand that this evolved into a long argument, which I'm not going to get into, about whether or not I had funny women available to me, whether or not I could reach out to funny women, whether I knew funny women. There's even, I've seen a quote from her that I said I couldn't find any funny women. Okay? So you understand, she's attributing things to me, including the idea that I'm bad at stand-up. She's never seen me, by the way. She's had specific conversations about me and how funny I am with people. She's never seen me. Now, here's the thing. If that were me, I swear to you, if that were me, obviously, I would never, ever voice an opinion on someone I'd never seen. I would never do that, ever, not one time. That is such an irresponsible, it's also a bad thing to do, right? But it shows something about your character. It really does. But I would never, ever, ever be so presumptuous to do that. I wouldn't. You know, I don't even talk about Dane Cook because I don't know enough about his work. You understand? I don't do it.
Right.
But, geez, I think I just lost my train of thought. But not only does she do this, not only does she say this, but in addition to that, she calls me a bigot. Now, once she knows, she goes, wait a minute, you know what? I've never seen him. God, can you imagine? You're right. That I know people like her. By the way, somebody that I love very much is like this. My brother, Robbie Robinson. And that's a guy, he's not a bad person, but what he does do on a much lesser scale is he'll form an opinion and he'll work backwards. He does that, right? And one of the things is because I'm so opinionated, but people
the chat was probably going to be on your side until you said that, Joe.
How quickly I am to say, you know what? I was wrong about that. You and I will be on this show in an argument and you'll start making sense. And I'm like, you know what? I think I might be on the wrong side of that. But I know people like her who distance themselves. They have a cause. Now, once they have that cause, you cannot rip it or pry it from their cold dead hands. You can't do it.
You did reach out to her, correct?
But I reached out to her, but she's wrong. And I was pretty, pretty nice. I thought that I was. But obviously, I'm angry. Because
did she respond to your message?
No, of course not. She can't respond. She's so wrong. You understand? All you can do is say, well, I don't know what she's doing. Because if that were me, I swear to you, if that were me and somebody said, wait a minute, I did speak about his work and I've never seen it. I did do that. Man, I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have done that. But I would never be in that position. I would never be so shallow. I wouldn't. So that's the thing. Because in order to apologize or respond, you have to acknowledge that that happened. And in order for her to do that, that's going to be a leap for her, which she's not going to make.
Well, when she did the porno, I mean, I wanted to get her on the show. I talked to her. And then she had a Facebook argument with Andrew Unger, the owner of Magoobies, and I made a comment in that apparently caused her to unfriend me. And because I've always got along with Jen Tisdale. I don't think she's that funny as a stand-up, but I do think she's funny on Twitter and Facebook, and she's a good writer, I think. And so I don't know why she got upset about, because I just made one comment that I didn't think that was that bad. Something to the effect of, I've now masturbated to two things involving Jen on the internet. It was, I think A was the porn and B was Andrew calling her the C word, but whatever. I thought it was a better line. It should have gotten a laugh and not an unfriending, but whatever. But it bothers me that if you have a problem with us not having females in the cast, you could just say something to us. I mean, first of all, we're trying to get females. We want females in the cast. But this is a
Rob,
new thing.
Honestly,
you've written three.
Dude, I don't want to talk about that.
But I mean, it's not like I disagree.
I don't
want
to defend
it. I want a well-rounded cast.
Here's the thing. I don't want to defend it. Fuck her. The first thing that she said was that I'm a bigot. I don't want to explain any of this to her. You know what I mean? I don't.
Right.
Because I don't, it's almost like if somebody calls you a racist, you go, well, I got a lot of black friends. I'm not interested in going there. You know, here's the thing. The only thing I've ever said about Jen Tisdale on this show was that she should have worn makeup when she did her porn and that she had a good body. Now, here's the thing. That maybe that's superficial. We're not act like porn is superficial. That's not a superficial medium. We're not allowed to discuss it superficially. It is the most base thing. Two people fucking. We have to act like this is some sort. This is cerebral. Is this fucking Aristotle? Like, what is this? So we're allowed to discuss it that way. We are.
Of course.
And I have no idea. By the way, you know, Jen Tisdale does not have me unfriended. She has me fucking blocked. And the reason I know that is because people are like, oh my God, are you reading this? And I go to read it. I can't even fucking find her. Mm. Can you think about this? I've literally, the only thing I've ever said about Jen Tisdale is that she should have worn makeup in her porn and she had a good body. And then I also said she was really particularly good on Twitter on here. I've never mentioned her. I've never said her name.
It also, she took a shot at that none of us have any DC fans or poll, and that the show wasn't going to do well at the Improv, which is, well, it's wrong on two levels. A, like, I work DC Improv all the time. I'm actually, according to the Improv himself, if not the most requested, one of the most requested local comics that they have.
Yeah, I know.
And Rob, Justin is, yeah. But the point is,
yeah, I mean,
it doesn't even matter because the people are coming to see the event and the fact
well, that's
that
what I
out
said. And again, like, you know, you cut your teeth at Wiseacres.
Yeah.
I cut my teeth open mic wise at the Topaz. That's where I learned to do comedy. I gave her my whole resume. But the reason I gave her my resume, which was about winning the Arlington Draft House competition, finishing third in the DC Improv competition, all the times I've worked at the Improv, all the times I've worked.
Responding to her claims that we have nothing.
Right. I did that. But then what I said at the end is, here's the secret that, by the way, it doesn't fit her narrative. So, you know, she's going to still rail against it. But no one gives a shit. No. Nobody cares. Listen, the reason that show sold out, maybe there are some people that saw that Justin was in it and bought tickets. Maybe there were some people that saw that you were in it and bought tickets. I had some people there that were there to see me. That might have been maybe 10% of the crowd. By the way, it would have sold out anyway without
them. Of course it would have.
Because people like the idea.
Yes.
The idea. And what she wants me to do, I believe, is when I went and called you and said, hey, do you want to do this? We have no room, no script, no money, no nothing other than the idea of a murder mystery. Do you want to do this? And you said yes. Instead, she wanted me to call the fucking girl who faked cancer. You see what I'm saying? She doesn't care about what happened leading up to that. She doesn't care.
All right.
Then what she wants me to do is have my cast and go, okay, well, now that we've established it with the people that put their blood, sweat, and tears in it, now fire them so you can get a girl involved. I'm not kidding. This isn't me. This isn't hyperbole. This isn't me exaggerating. She wants me to fire the people that got us there in order to bring women that I've never met into the cast. Do you have any idea how fucking blatantly stupid that is? That is bigotry.
How about we fire our sound guy, Robbie Robinson, and hire a female?
Do you know any females that do sound? Because that I'm actually on board for.
Let's take a break. We'll come right back. Robin Show.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show on 98 Rock. Never forget, my name goes first. I'm taking part in a new live, interactive, hilarious comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. It's called The Last Laugh, where I'm the star, as I should be. I play multiple roles. I play a comedian, a real piece of crap, a detective who's not good at his job, a fat girl in a wheelchair, Optimus Prime, and Mr. T's mustache. Come check it out, and maybe, just maybe, you can join us on stage. It's going to be incredible. Come see it.
Next performance, January 29th at the Avalon Theater in Easton, Maryland. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to Ben Neff. Who is Ben Neff? I don't know, but he listens to our podcast, our
Thanks,
show.
Ben.
And he commented on our Facebook page, and he agrees with me, so therefore I'm going to mention this. Episode 223, Cards Against Humanity discussion. I know this is really late, but I'm with Rob. The idea of Kool-Aid Man is way funnier than a stray pubic hair, especially you know? Given the context of the question card. If it's just about how funny the words on the card are, why even have the question cards? It's a great point. If you want to read funny words, you know, why even bother with the question?
Hey, Robbie. this is for Robbie Robinson right now. I apologize for saying that about you earlier, because I should have just said that about Rob.
No, I feel like I've been vindicated. I am now correct. Thank you, Ben. That's exactly the point I was trying to make. But these simpletons here, they just the funniest word will win, regardless of the scenario. Let's talk about, before my trip, this is the lamest thing anyone's ever done, but myself, Joe Robinson, Robbie Robinson, and Scott Apple are in a bachelor fantasy pool together, a league. The four of us, just the four of us. And we each picked seven girls out of the, I guess there's 28, and whoever's last the longest, is a complicated formula, wins absolutely nothing. But that's our lives, folks. That's what we're doing.
Well, no, I mean, you win absolutely nothing. But think about this.
Robbie's a huge favorite.
Yeah, you're talking about a Cards Against Humanity game that was played 3 weeks ago. Well, we're a competitive group, right? Robbie.
People, when they comment, they like to get their stuff read on the show. That's just all I'm doing.
No, I'm just saying we're a competitive group. You're saying we're playing for nothing. I don't think that we are. God, I never realized how competitive Robbie is. I mean, but he picked the Carolina Panthers to go to the Super Bowl, okay? Yes. And he's September. Now, what is it? Is it 3 weeks in a row? Robbie's been he's been sleeper selling, just waiting, because he wants, apparently, I guarantee you there's audio of it, but apparently we made fun of Robbie for picking Carolina for the Super Bowl.
Doesn't sound like we would do that, because they're Carolina's good team.
Oh, can I play it?
Of course. Of course he has the audio. Play it, Robbie, play it.
Robbie?
I have the Patriots beating the Panthers.
What? The Panthers? Jeez, dude.
All right. Good job. Go Panthers. They're going to be awful this year. But who knows? I said that last year and the year before. They managed to have good seasons. Guilty.
Wow, you went a little further, Rob. I'm glad I didn't do all that.
Yeah, we sounded like idiots, because that actually is an excellent Super Bowl pick.
Right now that's the favorite in both leagues. Right.
Yeah, they have New England has the 2 seed, but they're the favorite.
Yeah, you're right.
But they're technically the favorite. Yeah.
But yes.
All right, Robbie. Correct. Bravo. You're right. You were way wrong.
I don't remember who I have. I'm pretty sure I have the Ravens, right, Robbie?
I think I had the Ravens and the Packers, I think.
No, Joe had the Ravens and the Packers. You had Seattle and somebody else.
Oh, okay. Well, I got a chance. All right.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, we got to give you credit on that one. Do we have Michael Chamberlain's version of the rant at the ready?
Oh, yes, we do.
We'll set it up
again.
As
you know, the big argument that Joe and Robbie had a few weeks back, the rant that Eric the actor has named it, he actually transcribed it. Christopher Steele did his interpretation of it.
And did a great job.
Did a great job. By the way, good job. Good job yesterday, Chris, with the Vikings. But
can I real quick?
Yeah.
Real quick. Can I just pat myself on the back just a little bit? So the Vikings are lining up for a 27-yard field goal.
Yes.
Right? And I wish I just thought a little bit more, because I typed right before the kick, there's nothing that would be more hilarious than if this kick got blocked. And what I should have said.
Incorrect.
Is if he missed it, because really just this kick, not, or if he didn't make this kick. That's what I should have said, because that's really what I meant. The idea of this guy just ripping Chris Restivo's heart out by not making this field goal was just so hilarious. And as soon as I hit enter, within 5 seconds, this guy shanked a 27-yard field goal.
It's not that he missed it. He missed it by a mile.
Now, one of my favorite things, and I'm going to just get, and then we can get back to the rant. I give myself a lot of credit here, okay? I found a video on YouTube of a 12-year-old making a 36-yard field goal. And I posted it in my own thread. I also, for the first time in my history, liked my own thread. That's how proud
I am. By the way, huge Minnesota Vikings fan. No one is sure why, but...
Never been to Minnesota. He probably couldn't find it on a map, but he loves them. And when he missed a 27-yard field goal, God, it just, and of course, I think it had, 50 comments. People were just, they loved it. It was just so great.
Oh,
now, by the way, It would be as funny to me if the Vikings won the Super Bowl as it would have been for that to happen. Right? Like, either way, it's funny to me.
If they just lose 20-7, it's not, it's boring.
Yeah, they're right, yeah. Right. Or if they win and lose next week. Like, that's,
but if you think about Seattle, their last two games, they've had, because that's the worst kick in the history of the sport. That is. And the Super Bowl, the worst interception in the history of the sport and the worst play call happened on that last play.
Yes.
That's what they've had their last two games. So let's hear our movie critic, our entertainment correspondent, our house magician.
Before you play it,
BFF.
Yeah, before you play it, we were going to decide whether or not Chris's was better than Mike's. That's an important thing that we're
having
going
heard
to decide
Chris's.
With. Yes,
I'm gonna Chamberlain's gonna take it.
This is fucking horseshit, Robbie, and if you don't like it, fucking quit. I look out for you. Listen, I know I'm not as organized as you, but to act like I'm some sort of inconsiderate dick is fucking bullshit. I'm sorry that when I gave you that date, it didn't occur to me that you might not know it was a Monday night, but for you to act like I don't give a shit is fucking horseshit. I never miss this show. Do you know why? Because I know it's going to upset you. So this is fucking bullshit that I'm some sort of dick that doesn't give a fuck about what happens to you. And I'm sorry that if I'm busy, I say the time is wrong. Just respond back. What time is it? You know what, Robbie? I never send you the smug and curt emails that you send me. You let me know that I'm a fucking piece of shit, and I'm not. And I do worry about you, and I do worry about what I do. And this thing where all of a sudden I don't give a fuck about your time. Bullshit, Robbie. That's not true at all. It's not. You're right. I'm not as organized as you, but I am a fucking 47-year-old man. What do you think is going to happen at this point? This is who I am.
It's pretty good.
He really, he practiced that.
God, that was really good, man. That was really, really good.
It was.
Hey, real quick, Eric the actor says, that again proves Joe is a racist. He didn't like the black quarterback. Well, the quarterback for Seattle is also black, Eric the actor, so that doesn't really work.
I don't know. I mean, it's, I guess Restivo being able to read was the surprising part of that. By the way, speaking of that, Joe, in the murder mystery, we have audience roles, and we go around and we just pick them, whoever we think might do a good job. And in the last laugh, one of the audience members, or three actually, participate in the roast of this comic we've invented, and they have to read these jokes from this booklet. And Joe picked a guy who couldn't read.
Well, yeah, what am I supposed to do? Hold on. I can't ask somebody if they can read. I just assume if I say, do you want to do it? And they say, yes. I mean, do you agree that that's not on me?
He looked super like, he's like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. Can I do it? I mean, to me, it seemed like he was unsure. And that was a red flag to me. I was like, oh, this is.
No, if you're illiterate and you grab the script and agree to do it, it's on you.
Thanks, yeah, Robbie. I appreciate it. Although Katie is saying in chat he couldn't read at all. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he couldn't read.
I mean,
read.
I'm sure
what I do
by himself
I look for
in his
people.
Home he could read, but like with the pressure of being on stage and people staring at him, it was too much for him. It was
boring. Yeah, it was. Well, I'll tell you where he had the most trouble. There's a one of the roast jokes is they call Jim Marsdale today's Bill Cosby. It's just a coincidence that he happens to be a comedian. That's one of the roast jokes, right? Well, he looked at coincidence, dude. He couldn't come close to that word. And as soon as he started reading it, I was in the back going, oh, shit. Like, I knew immediately he was not going to get this out. And that's a pretty good joke, and I knew he was gonna blow it. But you guys, you had a great line making fun of him when he came up. I can't remember what you said. It was clearly about what he was wearing, because he's wearing a T-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, I made a comment that he's just wearing – that he's really – I forget what I said. But then I made a comment after his performance. I was like, oh, it's almost as if he's not actually a comic, and we just picked him out of the audience tonight to sort of peel back the curtain. But, yeah, the show ended up being great, but that was just – it was
now people in chat are calling me a racist for picking him. Well, I picked him. I did not pick him. I mean, what's going on here?
Joe, the racist Rob, Joe, racist Rob, racist Joe show.
Marcus, right, so Marcus said we should get David Koechner to do the rant.
Oh my God. Who had that idea?
Marcus.
Oh, brilliant, Marcus. Touche. You can ask him yourself in 10 days, buddy.
And by the way, you know, Mike really didn't prepare for that at all. He barely read the thing. He hadn't practiced. He did it right for me live on the while I was recording.
Can I tell you about that? He started out really strong.
He did.
It wavered a little bit in the middle, but then I thought he ended it pretty strongly, too. I liked his... I like when he did the "I'm a 47-year-old man." I like that part.
That spoke to him a little bit. He could see himself in that rant.
You think he Daniel Day-Lewis did? You think he lived in my house for a week?
Was he shitty towards you, Robbie? Was he angry at you?
No, he was confused about it, and I explained to him basically you're playing Joe in this, and that's all the coaching I gave him.
Eric Woodworth just texted me. He's one of the cast members. He says, "I find it funny that he can't read, but is confident in solving a mystery." Yep. Let's get to my trip. I went to Incirlik Air Base in Adana, Turkey, to perform a New Year's Eve show, and it was it appeared to be. You know, when I got my flight itinerary, piece of cake, a direct flight to Istanbul, which is 10 hours, Dulles, and then a 4-hour layover, could be worse, and then an hour and 15-minute flight to Adana, Turkey, and then the base is right there. So as far as my general travel days for these trips, 16, 17-hour total day, piece of cake. I guess I should have known that wasn't going to work out that way. The first clue that things were going bad is when the other comic who had weather trouble here in the States and was supposed to be on my flight, he got held up in Boston, which caused him to be late to Istanbul, and then it started snowing in Istanbul, and they don't get a lot of snow there, and apparently they don't know how to react to it. He was late in getting to the show. He was like almost a day late.
Jeez.
So he got there the day, like hours before the show started.
Were you stressed? Did you know what you were going to do if he didn't show up?
Yeah, I was going to do the whole show myself, probably. Which would have really sucked because I'd met this guy before that when I was in Korea, like 6 months earlier, the same guy that works at this base now. So he was cool and I knew him and he knew that I was funny. So I didn't have to prove myself. But this was a New Year's Eve show where people started eating and drinking at 7:30. I went on at 10:30 and there's this huge ballroom. People are yelling, screaming. There's this German soldiers there that are singing songs. I mean, I'm competing with a lot of noise. I'm bringing people up on stage. I mean, it was 45 minutes, but it was a stretch to get there. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, I'm thinking it's snowing. I look at the weather report. The snow's going to end. You know, his flight was delayed, but 24 hours from now, they're not going to have
any issues. How bad was it snowing?
It snowed like 7-8 inches or something. You know, it's not that big a deal. To me, I'm thinking it's there to be fine. So, especially a day later. So, I'm supposed to leave at 7:55 a.m. in from Adana to Istanbul, 4-hour layover, and then the 10-hour flight home. We arrive at 6:30 a.m. It's this real small airport in Adana, and the 4:10 a.m. flight hadn't left yet. So that's the first clue that things are bad. Now, I'm not too concerned yet because I have a layover in Istanbul. So what's the difference? What if I'm late here? Either way, I have to sit there and do nothing for 4 hours somewhere. So I might as well be here. So I'm not really concerned yet. Also, the very plane that we're going to be flying on, it's right there. I'm staring at it. So the plane's here. That's half the battle, right? That's there. So they can't give us any information on when. They're like, nah, we don't know what's going to happen. All right. So a little frustrating. There's no information. No one can tell you anything. So
they all speak English, though?
Not that well. Now, if you get into Istanbul, they speak English or any major airport. But this is a small airport. where the announcements, they're only in Turkish, they're not in English. Like a bigger airport, they'll announce everything in the native language and in English. But in a small airport like this, just the native language. So there's a lot of just trying to guess shit. So at one point, I see like our bags are sitting out. This is a real small airport. You just see everything sitting out by the plane. I'm like, well, that's a good sign. Our bags are there. 3 hours later, bags are still there. So that made nothing.
Covered in snow.
Yeah. So then I see there's another airline, and I see their flight is about to leave to land in Istanbul. The same airport I'm going to. So I'm thinking, well, that's a good sign because clearly planes can land there because this plane is about to take off and land there. That's got to be a good sign for us. All I know about this airport is what I learned the day before. It's called Honor Air, O-N-U-R. The guy at the base told me, the vice commander says, it's like their version of like Spirit Airline or Value Jet. Super cheap, low end. He says on that flight, though, he's taken it before, the flight attendants will come out. Not with a magazine with duty-free stuff you can buy. Literally bottles of liquor and live chickens in cages, and they have an auction.
People Did you buy yelling, a chicken?
You can literally buy a live chicken during the flight via an auction. So that airline is flying to Istanbul. So I'm thinking, okay, well, they're doing it. We ought to be able to do it. We're Turkish Airline. We're the biggest airline in the country. That flight leaves at 9:30. So I'm thinking, all right, it's got to be clearing up there. Then, by the way, no one knows anything, and everyone's trying to find information. Somebody got on the internet, there's no Wi-Fi. He found their app. It said it's going to leave at 10 a.m., which turned out to be bullshit. Then it's at 11 a.m. At one point, like, they brought the food. You could see the food cart going onto the plane. I'm like, that's a good sign. So you keep trying to get information. People start getting angry. There's this one big group. This woman was leading it, yelling, screaming. You think there's a fight. We look over
what
there.
What nationality? She's yelling.
They're all locals. Racist. And yelling. And then people on our side start yelling at her, which I was confused by. I was like, why are they yelling at her? They're not in her group. And it's just constant chaos. Every guy in this airport looked like a villain in like a Taken movie. They all looked at that look. It was hilarious.
Did you ever leave the airport?
My flight finally left that airport at 3 p.m. They put me on the 4:10 a.m. flight, which left at 3 p.m. Now, my flight at that point had been delayed till about 4:30, so I'm actually thinking I might have a chance. We land. I get on my phone. My flight is now delayed another half hour. I'm like, oh, fuck, I have a chance. It took us an hour from the time we landed till I got to the terminal. All the ice where they had to park the plane to wait for the shuttle. The shuttle was forever. Everything took – I finally get into the airport, the main airport, Istanbul. My flight is not listed. It's done. So I see this huge line. I've never seen a line this long. You know how at an airport they'll have like section A.
Hold on. Let me jump back. When you say your flight was done, it already took off?
I guess. It wasn't listed. So it wasn't listed on the departure thing. Either it was canceled or it was taken off. It wasn't there. So I'm like, well, I'm fucked. So you know how they'll have like section A, and then they'll have like, you know, United Airlines and all their kiosks, all their lanes, and then section B. And then, well, there's this huge wraparound line that starts at A and it goes to H. So that's the line I have to get in. So I get in this line. And you know how you say, Joe, that I'm like awesome at open mic nights? That's the thing I'm best at.
Right.
I think I'm really good at lines in terms of just meeting people in lines and just making it fun, just having conversations.
These are Turks that you're.
We're not Turks anymore. No. Now they're all. There are people trying to leave, trying to get home. Now we're all. There was a British guy that was trying to get back to Africa. He looked like an older Mike Shader. Mike Shader's the comic that wore the Breathe Right strip that Joe talked about.
He's also the guy that asked me to film his set when I had to go on after him and do 40 minutes. Okay.
He looked like an older Mike Shader. And this guy, by the way, super annoying. He would do this thing where I would make the conversation interesting. Like I'm actually like saying, hey, what if we get a bunch of us and we just start looting this place? What are they going to do? What if we just start? I'm not being serious. I'm just trying to make it fun. And then he would start, you know, have you ever seen this movie? It's this British director, 1965. And the whole point of this 10-minute story is it's a movie about a restaurant where the diners took over the restaurant. That's the whole point of the story. So he keeps making the conversation shitty. So we're in line for like 2 hours, hardly moved. People that are that were there already been there 12 hours. So I'm like, I have no idea when I'm getting home. Somebody comes up and says, hey, there's a better line. Follow me. Okay, we just do it. We don't even know if this guy works here. We just do it. He takes us to the other side of the airport. There is a better line. Fast forward, my flight now leaves in 2 days. They got me on a flight in 2 days.
Two days.
I'm supposed to leave Friday at 1:30. I'm now leaving Sunday at 1:30. So, which is complicating things because we're moving that Monday. So that weekend, we were going to finish all the packing. So now it's, you know, I'm putting it all on Tawanda. It's just going to – I'm going to get home and literally have to pack and move. It's just going to be a nightmare. So then I have to wait 3 hours in line to get a hotel voucher. So British Mike Shader guy, we get separated. I go to the hotel voucher line. Boom. He's right next to me. Like, I can't lose this guy. He gets on a flight the next day, Saturday. And he says, you know what? I'm going to get my own hotel. He goes to get a hotel. Says, yeah, I'm in this hotel. If you can choose, you know, come hang out with me. I don't know if he wants to bang me. It was kind of weird.
Well, did you, are you telling Maya? Was he coming on to you?
I don't know. Because he's like, hey, you want to have a beer? I'm at this hotel. See if you can get that one. I was like, all right. So I have no say in a hotel I get. They're going to give me whatever. But anyway, I'm not in his hotel. So fast forward the next day, I go back to the airport trying to get an earlier flight. No luck. I go back to the hotel. Later on that night, I'm sitting in the hotel bar. Who walks in? Old British Mike Shader.
British Mike Shader.
Who was supposed to have been left that day and was in another hotel. Okay. So what are the odds, right?
Did you get suspicious?
Well, this is bad for two reasons. A, now I have to talk to him again.
Right.
But more importantly, B, he was promised a flight and got bumped from it. So now is my flight gonna, that can happen to me. That's my real fear. So fast forward, I wake up the next day still not knowing if I'm going to get home. My flight is already delayed at 7 a.m. It's already – the 1:30 flight is already delayed 4 hours. And it just – obviously I got home. But there was no point until the plane was in the air where you actually were like confident this was going to happen. It was –
Is the flight itself like – is it a bad airline on top of the weight? Is it like, because you said there are chickens on there, and it's, I mean, is it, do you have, do you, is it clean?
No. That was the rival airline. It was clean. The food was good. The flight attendants were actually quite attractive. But Robbie, you said that your girlfriend has an experience with Turkish Airlines. And
no, she just travels a lot, and she knows not to fly Turkish Airlines.
Let me ask you this.
They have a bad reputation.
How many hours?
Give a shit. That was the other thing. Because, you know, it was chaos in the airport. At one point, this African woman, I hear this commotion. She gets knocked over. She's crying. Her kids, Joe is laughing because he's racist. Her kids are yelling. Her daughter's like 12, yelling at some guy. Her 9-year-old son is crying. You hit my mommy. I mean, it's just chaos. People are crying and yelling and screaming. It was a nightmare. They had 300 flights were canceled. Probably 10,000 people were inconvenienced. I mean, when I went back the next day to get on an earlier flight, people in front of me in line were getting pushed back till the 6th. This is the 3rd. So it was a debacle. And the worst part is you couldn't do anything about it. It was the helplessness that was awful. There's nothing I could fucking do.
An extra 2 days to get home, correct?
Yeah. 52 okay. hours I got home late. 52 hours late.
Okay, 52 hours. Okay. Mm-hmm. How many hours earlier would you have to have gotten home to have ridden the chicken airline? Meaning if you would you have ridden that airline to take 10 hours off your wait?
Yes. I wish I could have gotten on that flight that left from Adana because it left at 9:30 a.m. First of all, I would take that flight just for the fun of it. Not, you know, because they don't fly international, just domestic. But I would go on that just for the experience. How bad could it be, right? I mean, just to see people buying a live chicken on a flight, that seems awesome to me. So I would do that just for fun.
Thank you for your service. As Eric the Actor said in chat, he called you a war hero.
Thank you, Eric. I'm glad. I know you'd understand. So are you, my friend.
Speaking of coincidence, by the way, I think I told you this already, so I'm going to make Robbie guess. So I had to get my car fixed So Katie took me down, drove me down to Annapolis. And after we get the car, we're like, hey, let's go eat. She goes, yeah, let's go to this place. The place I'd never been before in Annapolis called Jalapenos. Mm-hmm. I go in to Jalapenos. Who's in there? Now, let me say this, Robbie. So because I know Rob knows the answer to this. He lives an hour away from me. I live 30 minutes north. He lives 30 minutes south. And we are sitting in the exact same restaurant. Who is it, Robbie?
30 minutes south. I don't know.
Well, it's Scott Apple.
Oh, Scott.
the worst person in the world who I see every single day is now happens to be in the exact same restaurant that I'm in. So what, of course, do I have to do? I have to eat with him.
Of course.
I have to.
His wife there, too?
I can't see him and act like he's not there. It was fun, but still.
Was he with his wife?
It was tough. That was tough to see.
Yeah. Hey, come to the comedy in Kingstown, Alexandria, the Thompson Center. I'm doing a show because I'm a war hero. Comedy for a Cause with Jared Stern, a friend of ours, Steve Coltrane, for homeless veterans. That's this
I'm mad
Friday.
At Jared Stern.
Why?
I love Jared Stern. When we were doing our murder mystery, he was in trivia night. He didn't even come watch the murder mystery. He went in and played trivia.
Yeah.
Wish he would have come in.
Chris or Steve just messaged me. I got to fucking talk to you. I'll be at Coco Lane on Wednesday. I'm fucking angry as shit, and I got words to say.
Oh, God. You think it's about me laughing about the Vikings?
Well, he did say this. I'm tired of these fans that keep talking shit, accusing me of fraud and lying. Oh, that's something else. Never mind.
No. I don't think. All I did was laugh that a guy missed a kick. You think he's mad at me again?
He's mad at everyone. I mean, people are giving him a hard time on Facebook, you know, because he's a crazy fan. I actually
it's hilarious. Come on. I'm at McGoobie's this weekend. If you are in the Baltimore area, Kevin Brennan.
Oh, I worked with him last time. Yeah.
Did you like him? No, I know you. You're a diplomat. I want you to say the same thing here that you're going to say off air. Did you like him?
I liked hanging out with him. Yeah.
Because I talked to another comic, and I don't want to say his name because, you know, unless he gives me permission. But he told me that this guy keeps to himself. He doesn't really talk to anybody.
Yeah, he did keep to himself. But I had a common friend that wanted me to give him a message, Andy Campbell, who I told him that he had a message from him. And I guess that made him open up a little more to me. But he
tell Andy Campbell to give me a message to give to him.
I will.
By the way, if you're good friends with somebody, can't you just give them a message yourself?
Well, I didn't say they were good friends. Andy used to do comedy, and he worked with him years ago, and he hadn't talked to him in like a decade.
Tell Andy Campbell that I want to say to Kevin Brennan, Andy Campbell says hi. Tell him I want to do that because I want to do the same thing. I don't want to be sitting there awkwardly. I'm with him for 3 days. I'm there Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And by the way, I don't mind if you keep to yourself. I don't mind that. But I'd prefer that not be the case. I'm not going to be like, hey, man, you know, I don't need to do that. We're not going out for drinks later. But I want to be able to just have a regular conversation with you.
Maybe he doesn't want to hang out with you because he's heard you're a racist and a sexist.
Well, I would like to at least have the same advantage that you had. So will you please ask Andy Campbell? Eric, the actor, says Joe hates being snubbed in the green room. Well, if you're a dick, I don't like it. That's true. Ari Spears what's the guy? Come on, John Lovitz. And, you know, there are people that, yes,
well,
I haven't liked.
You did pull John Lovitz's cord out, you know.
Well, that was after he was a dick. That's after I walked in and he took like 5 seconds to look up from his phone. That was okay. A dick. That was on him.
All right. We'll also be at the Arlington Draft House, the Green Room, on Thursday night. And again, everyone up in Connecticut, and I know, Marcus, you probably told a lot of people about this show. You have a lot of listeners probably from the Connecticut now. Come to Comics, the Mohegan Sun. Is Mermelstein going to be there?
Mermelstein will not. I'm bringing my best bud. He and I are coming down. We have our VIP tickets.
So what
you're bringing a dude.
Sorry.
I assume you're staying the night, right?
Yeah, I'm coming down on Thursday, staying overnight, and then leaving late on Friday.
Okay, so you're ready to get out there and have a good time.
Yeah, I asked my wife to come down, and she said, nope, you can take your best bud. So he and I are going to come down, and we're going to gamble, hang out with David Koechner. And, you know, if we run into you, that's great. But if we don't, that's fine, too. And we'll have a good time at the Mohegan Sun.
You going to get hammered?
I don't. Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah. Now, what would be better? If I'm hilarious and you hang out with Koechner for a little bit, but that's it. Or I'm awful, but you hang out with Koechner a lot.
Oh, if you're awful.
No, that's not better. No, you better. Don't want Rob to be awful.
It's better for him. Better experience.
But I talk to Rob all the time.
What do you think? Marcus and Koechner are going to become best friends, and then he's going to be best man in Marcus's next wedding.
No, but Koechner's a good guy to hang out with because everyone recognizes him. He'll be buying drinks and stuff. He's cool. You'll be able to get in every place. That's a good story. Me just having a good set, it's not that interesting.
No, I don't want to see you have a bad set there.
No, I'll try my hardest not to. Tawana will be there. You'll get to meet her, Marcus.
Oh, well, that's going to be fantastic. I love that. Thank you.
No, hey,
you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, she's happier than you are, I'm sure. She's the big winner here. She gets to hang out with your buddy. All right, I guess that's the show. Robbie, anything on your end to report?
No.
All right.
Hey, good job on sound, Robbie, at the murder mystery.
Absolutely. Dun, dun, dun. That's the show. We'll be back, hopefully a long run without interruptions, next week. We'll see you then. And again, if you're in the Eastern Shore area, the 29th Avalon Theater, The Last Laugh. Till then, later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.